2, verses 31 and 32. Luke 22, 31 and following. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And I want to talk about something that's really been on my mind for quite a while. I want to talk about a high-value target. A high-value. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Simon was a high-value target. Now, it's important that we differentiate between a high-value target and one who is simply a target. All of us who are in the body of Christ, we either are a high-value target or we're simply a target. Now, what's the difference? Glad you ask. Satan looks at those who are in the body of Christ as to how much damage will they do to his kingdom. Amen. If they are a person who is on fire for the Lord, who is pointing people to Christ, who's living a life that will exemplify the God that they talk about, the professors and confessors, amen, then he sees them as a high-value target. If you're one who, in your lifestyle, it's hard to differentiate whether you're a Christian or not.
Right, Pastor. Right, sir.
If you're just going about not making any waves, going along to get along, you're a low-value target. Oh, he wants you. But he's not going to expend the effort on you at the time, because he's got to stop those folk who are pressing the claim and the cause for Christ. But I want you to know that in all that we say about whether we are low-value or high-value, Jesus has prayed for us. And that's the good news. Amen. The good news is Jesus has prayed for us. But I must tell you, my brothers and sisters, it is to one's detriment not to be able to realize the capacity of the prince of the power of the air. I must know that Satan is shrewd. He's cunning.
That's right.
He's deceptive.
That's right.
And he is destructive.
That's right. That's
both right. Jesus and Paul refers to Satan as the prince of this world.
That's right.
Jesus in John 14 and 30. And then Paul says in Ephesians 2 and 2, the prince of the power of the air.
That's right.
Now it's important to understand the distinction, the power of the air. Satan is not a mere earthbound enemy. Can I tell you that Satan has a hold on people because of their fallen state? Say that again.
Yes, sir.
Satan has a hold on people because of their fallen state. When we have been born again, oh, bless his holy name. Amen. Satan no longer has that hold on us.
That's right. That's right.
For if any person be in Christ, that person is a new creation.
That's right.
The old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new.
That's right.
And when that becomes the case, when we are born again, and Paul says in Romans 3 and verse number 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now Satan no longer is able to control you.
That's right.
And Satan gets uptight when he can't control you.
That's right.
Amen. Satan then puts you on his number one high value hit list. Amen. You're no longer just somebody that's a nuisance. Amen. You are a trouble to his kingdom. Amen. It is the severity of the threat to Satan's kingdom that determines his response to you. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, if you're going through stuff, it's because your relationship with God. For the Bible said, all that will live godly will suffer persecution. Amen. Don't labor under that illusion that once I come to the Lord, everything's going to be perfect.
That's right.
Going to have no more trouble. Hallelujah. I'm all right now. No, what you've done is set yourself up for Satan to get on your track.
That's right, Pastor.
Amen.
Right.
And the greater your intensity in working for the Lord, the greater the value he attaches to you as an enemy.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. He puts a larger target on your back.
Yeah.
Amen. When he comes at you. Amen. Now, we know, as I said, all Christians have been targeted by Satan. For this same brother Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
he
right.
wants to take you out.
That's right.
But we serve
right.
a God who's prayed for us.
That's right.
And I must tell you,
that's
if you're
right.
in the hands of
that's
Almighty
right.
God,
that's right.
the devil in hell can't
that's
pluck
right.
you out.
That's right.
But I want you to consider, and I'm not going to be long, but I'm excited about this today. Amen. There are three factors that Satan considers when he's developing his hit list. See which one you are. Number one is the person. He considers the person. Number two, he considers their prominence. And number three, he looks at what is their potential.
Yeah.
Let's look at the person. Amen. The Bible says Jesus is talking to Simon. The devil is looking at the person of Simon.
Yeah.
Amen. This is the Simon you'll remember who responded to Jesus in Matthew 16.
Yeah.
Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one that Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood then reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven, which says that Simon was
right.
on to something.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's
he
right.
was responsive to the Holy Spirit speaking to him. And whenever there's someone who's open and responsive to the Holy Ghost, Satan says, I got to take him out.
That's right, Pastor.
Amen. Satan
right.
knows that
that
because he's a spirit.
Yeah.
You realize that Satan is a spirit.
Yes, sir.
He knows that if you're operating in the spirit realm, you very clearly knows that he is a defeated foe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
That's
you
right.
see, when we talk about going about as a roaring lion, amen, he can roar all he wants. He has no ability to attack you. He can't come at you unless God gives him permission to do so.
That's right.
You see.
That's right, sir.
But see, you got to know that.
Yeah.
See, some folk think that they are floundering around and the devil is beating them all upside the head. And the truth of the matter is, and he might be doing that, but if he's doing it, he has the express permission of God.
That's right.
You say, well, why would God let that happen? Glad you asked. You see, the Lord knows who belong to him.
Yeah.
Can you hear Satan showing up at a meeting where he was not invited.
Yeah.
Can I tell y'all something? Let me digress just a minute. Satan has a way of showing up where he's never been invited.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
amen.
Right.
You're having church service, and guess who shows up?
Yes, sir.
Nobody invited him.
Yes, sir.
He's just a hitchhiker.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He'll ride in on whoever will allow him to come in.
That's right.
But that was this meeting, the meeting, and Satan showed up, and God looked at him and said, Have you considered my servant Job?
That's right.
There is none
That's right.
like him.
That's right, sir.
He's righteous
right.
and upright.
That's right.
And
That's
you know
right.
what Satan said? Yeah, I know what you say.
Yeah.
Well, he has no reason not to serve you because you got a wall around him.
Yeah.
You're taking care of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I tell you what, God, if you move that wall, I'll show you who he really is.
Yeah.
But you see, and I told folk the other night, you know, if God had gone to Job and said, "Now look, Job, Satan is out to get you, but I told him that you're going to serve me." You know, Job would have had some impetus to stand strong, but Job didn't know what was happening.
That's right.
He was just the recipient
yeah.
of all these attacks of Satan.
Yeah.
But you see, God will let Satan come at you to let you know and let Satan know that it's not true skin for skin.
That's right.
All
That's
that
right.
a man has, he'll give to save his skin.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we got folk who subscribe to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Whatever it takes for me to get over, I'm willing to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've got some that will stand in the midst of whatever is going on. They're going to stand for what's right and for righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We're talking about a person who know who they are in God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. When a person is a blessing to the kingdom, amen, when they will tell you what's right and they live a life that reflects that,
mm-hmm.
Satan says, "I got to get rid of that person."
Yeah.
This is Simon. Amen. Simon, God says, "I got a work for you." And Satan says, "Let me cut him off at his knees." Amen. Jesus said he has desired to have you that he may sift you. Now I realize a lot of you don't realize what a sifter is. But see, old folk and country folk, know what a sifter is. Yeah, that's right, Sister Morgan. You twist that and Satan wants to come at you and get all the good out of you. He wants to leave you in terms of spirituality threadbare. He wants you to have nothing. No influence.
That's right.
No capacity
That's
to
right.
live right.
That's right.
And if you're not careful, amen, you'll succumb to what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, "Well, show me." I'm glad you asked. The Bible says that God had given specific instructions to the first man, Adam, the progenitor of the race.
Yeah.
And Adam gave those same instructions to his wife, Eve.
Yeah.
But Eve wasn't listening.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
How do I know she wasn't listening? Because she added to what was said.
That's right. That's
See,
right.
when you can't get the instructions straight, when you're not listening.
Yeah.
See, I see a lot of folk on their way to hell, they're not listening. They think they got to do something to please God.
Yeah.
And God said, "I've done whatever is necessary to save you.
That's right.
And now you don't have to please me in terms of salvation.
That's right.
You please me because you're saved."
Yeah.
But Eve said, "Well, we can't even touch this tree."
Yeah.
Not what God said.
That's right, Pastor.
God said, "Don't eat of the tree." Satan said, "It's not true. God is trying to keep something from you." And that's what people are still looking for. Amen. That God is not telling me the whole story. Can I tell you something? God has given you more than enough to be saved.
That's right.
Now let me tell you. No, y'all not getting this. He's told you more than enough to be saved.
That's right.
And when folks say, you know, Pastor, I just didn't know. Can I tell you this? Amen. You're not doing all you know to do right now.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Do what you. Amen. But anyway. And so, I, you know, in my own mind, I can see Satan pushing Eve up against that tree. See, you didn't die. But you see, what God says, the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die.
Yes, sir.
And so she looks at the tree. The fruit looks good. The lust of the eyes to make you wise. The pride of life. This is something I want. And I find it intriguing that the Bible said, and she did eat and gave it to her husband with her. Now, you know, I used to, as a child, I thought that Adam was somewhere else. I didn't think that he was right there while all this is going on. Man, why are you letting all this go on? But then I've come to the realization, my brothers and sisters, we've got brothers that let that same kind of stuff go on in your house. When you ought to be the one that get up and say, let's go to church. You know what you're saying? Baby, get them children ready for church. Y'all go on to church now. When we understand that God has a place for the man of the house.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I'm going to talk about that at another time. I want us to say, I'm talking about the person. Amen. The person. The person, Satan is concerned about when a person is a destructive force to his kingdom. Amen. Satan says, I got to stop them. I can't let them continue, amen, knocking my kingdom. And can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? We have made the culture of this world commonality. Amen. We go along to get along.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I'm not going to talk to y'all. I'm talking to these folks. We make the culture of this world a commonality. Amen. I told them in Sunday school, at work, we can't tell the difference between the saved and unsaved. Amen.
That's right.
We ought to be able to identify, amen, as children of the Most High God. And you don't need to wear a placard that says, I am a Christian.
That's right.
Your lifestyle ought to tell somebody that you have been with the Lord.
That's right.
If the God in you does not show out of you, you need some more of the Lord in you. Go ahead, Pastor. Satan has a problem with an on-fire believer. Amen.
Right.
There are many good people in the church. They are confessors and professors, but to Satan, they are not a high value because they are not hurting his kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen. All you do is just leave them alone and everything's fine.
Right.
But when you start telling folk you need to live right,
you
need to act right,
you
need to show folk. You're telling folk you're a deacon at church, you ought to be a deacon on the job.
That's right.
You're telling folk you're a pastor?
That's right.
Amen. You certainly ought not to have folk to tell you, I'm Pastor Jones from the Friendship Church. There ought to be something about the lifestyle that tells somebody, if that person's not a pastor, he certainly knows the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The person. Then there is the prominence. The prominence. Again, look, Simon. This is the Simon that God had a great work for. Simon was a member of the inner circle.
That's right.
Amen. You could always tell Peter, James, and John.
That's right.
These were the ones that God would, the Lord Jesus would take with him when he needed somebody to stand with him. Amen. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he took Peter, James, and John. When he gets ready to do some tasks, he takes Peter, James and John. They were prominent. But do you know that Satan knows if he can cause a prominent person to fall, they not That's only right. fall, That's but they bring right. others That's with
right.
them.
That's right.
There is a domino effect.
That's right.
I can remember, right. I can remember when Jimmy Swaggart fell. There were so many that were hurt because of what had happened in his lifetime, which tells us something. Don't get caught up in the person.
Yeah, that's right.
You ought to
that's
be looking right. at Christ.
That's right.
Preachers might fail you,
right. that's
but
right.
Christ
that's right.
will never fail
that's
you.
Right. That's right. That's right.
People will see. People right. will leave church A and go to church B because they were hurt by someone at the church.
That's right.
But can I tell you something? As long as Christ is in that church, you're good.
That's right.
Because Christ's not going to hurt you.
That's right.
And if Christ be for you, it does not matter who's against you. Because he's going to stand with those that are his.
That's right.
I'm beginning to feel like preaching here. Amen. The prominence. Amen. That can't you hear the Holy Spirit as he speaks to Peter when the question is asked, but whom do you say that I am? Holy Spirit speaks to him and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you see, you can't come to that conclusion until the Holy Ghost leads you there. Amen. Oh, you can say it, but you really don't know it.
Yeah, yeah.
But when the Holy Ghost gets in your life, you know the things of God.
That's right.
Amen. God gets in your life, and the old folks said, I looked at my hands, and my hands look new, and looked at my feet, and... Yeah, that's because God changes things. Yeah. But it's the prominence. If I can cause this preacher to fall, if I can cause this deacon to fall. I heard Deacon Moore talking about a deacon at the church in Chicago that was really his mentor. And says that he had gone away to the military and come back. And he looked for this man, and this man has gone out of church. Do you not know what kind of a message that sends? That if Satan can get a deacon, Satan can get a preacher.
That's right.
Satan said, I ain't worried too much about you choir members. I got y'all. I'm just having a little fun on that one. Because you realize that Satan was the choir director.
That's right, Pastor. That's right. That's right.
Got lifted up in pride.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
His pipes were so that he thought, man, I ought to be leading this.
That's right. That's right.
But I really was headed toward the potential. And there's two things I want you to see about the potential, and I'll be done. Y'all didn't know you were going to get out this early, didn't you? Will you not? The potential. And I want us to look at it in two aspects. Number one, the potential is the flawed walk. Amen. Simon had a flawed walk. He was not a perfect person. You know, if we look at the Apostle Peter, amen, before the Holy Ghost came, this guy was in trouble.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he was cussing folk out, cutting folks' ears off. I mean, he was into stuff. And so you can come from a flawed life, but yet Satan knows there's a potential, and I want to cut it off before it comes to fruition.
That's right.
And so there is a flawed walk, but also there are young people that have not yet fully developed to their potential. And Satan looks into their lives, and he knows something's coming. And he wants to deal with them early on.
That's right. That's right.
Now, right. I really want us to get this, because sometimes we don't understand with our young people, and we wonder how come it seems like they're always in trouble. It's because Satan is after them. Amen. Satan knows that there is a potential in their life. And if he can deal with them early on, he won't have to deal with them later on. If he's got them now, cut them off. Yeah, now you say, well, I don't want to send that preacher. I'm glad you didn't, because now I can explain it to you. The Bible said, Jeremiah 1:5, when there was the question about, well, Lord, I can't speak, I'm a child. And the Lord God said to Jeremiah, say not that thou art a child. Amen. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained thee to be a prophet to the nation. When I look at what God has in store for young people, amen, and many of them will never get to their full potential because they've taken a hit from Satan, and parents didn't have enough spiritual understanding to pray them through that thing. But if you know that Satan is on their track, spend more time praying over them. One of the things that I am blessed of God here, I can hear Brother Holmes praying for these young boys. And he calls them all out by name. And I said, that's one way to get the devil on the run. Not only do you pray for them, but you call out their name. You let Satan know, I'm putting you on notice that this person is covered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of our problem is we succumb to what goes on, and we don't believe that there can be a comeback. But I got to tell you something, my brothers and sisters. There's always a comeback.
That's right.
That's why we're here today, because of the comeback.
Yeah,
we were all on our way to hell, but the God that we serve, amen, he found us while we were on our way from him.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? You know, we like to believe that we've been perfect from our infancy. I stopped by to tell you, not so. For the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. We can look so proud and pious as we sit in the house of God. But the truth of the matter is, sometime our heart reveals something else. But I'm glad that we serve a God who searcheth the reins of man's heart. Can I go ahead and preach? Amen. God looks at a heart and says, I know what the potential there. Oh, you're not there yet. Amen. That's why the Lord Jesus could take Simon and tell him, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. He's desired to sift you as wheat. Well, that word desires means that Satan had come to God and asked permission. And can I tell you something? Satan can't get to you except God gives permission to get to you. Amen. He can't run roughshod over God's property. Amen. You can't attack a strong man's house unless you bind the strong man. And I stop by to tell you, the God that we serve, he is the strong man. God knows how to hold us in the hollow of his hand. I want you to know that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. The Simon that was cursing folk out and cutting off ears. Amen. God knew that there will come a time when he's not backing up any longer. Amen. He might be backing up now, but I got a time coming when he's filled with the Holy Ghost. And I stop by to tell you, when the Lord fills you with his Holy Ghost, amen, he causes us to walk right. If we don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't walk right. You can't act right. But I stop by to tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes, you can walk right. You can talk right. Have I got a witness here? Yeah, if you need a witness, look at Simon Peter. Before the Holy Ghost came, amen, a little girl intimidated him. Can I go ahead and preach? The Bible said he was standing in the courtyard of the high priest. And the Bible said a young maiden came out and said, that's one of them. He's one of those disciples. Look at him there. And Peter said, no, I don't know the man. Have I got a witness? The Bible said a second time she came and said, yes, he's one of them. And Simon said, no, you got the wrong person. But the Bible said a third time, she said, listen at his talk. He sounds just like those Galileans. And Peter began to curse with an oath and said, blankety blank, I don't even know the man. And I stopped by to tell you today that as long as he was operating in the flesh, he had no strength. But the Bible said, Jesus, oh, I feel like preaching now. Jesus, the matchless Lamb of God, had told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued with power. Have I got a witness? And the Bible said they stayed there. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a mighty rushing, a sound as a mighty rushing wind, and it lit on them. Oh, yes. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Can I go ahead and preach? The Bible says that they began to talk in tongues that were not their original tongue. And there were those that sit outside and said, those boys must be drunk on new wine. Look how they're acting. Hallelujah. And Brother Peter stood up and said, we're not drunk as you suppose. This is just the third hour of the day. What are you saying, Peter? The liquor stores have not opened up yet. Have I got a witness? You can't go to the drive-in and get an 18 number. Have I got a witness here? It is the Holy Ghost that's dwelling on the inside. I'm talking about when God looks at your potential. Satan wants to stop it, but I want you to know you might be a high value target, but if God is on your side, he raises up a shield. Have I got a witness here? This same Apostle Peter, the Bible says, oh yes, I feel like preaching now. The Bible says he was on his way to prayer meeting, and he had John along with him. And as they went up, the Bible says there was a man laying at the gate. Have I got a witness? That lame in his feet. And the man looked up and saw Brother Peter and Brother John and asked of them alms. Give a lame man something. And Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'm going to give it unto thee. And the Bible said he took his hand, reached down, and picked the man up. I'm talking about a power coming from the other side. That's why he was a target. Satan knew, if I don't stop him, he'll be lifting up folk and causing them to run. Peter knew that if I just reach down in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And the Bible said, immediately, immediately, man, ankle bones receive strength. But I want us to understand that the Lord had something in Peter. But can I go ahead and preach? The Bible says, this same Peter, have I got a witness here, was able to walk through the streets, and his shadow would fall on folk, and they'd get healed. Yes, Satan says he's a high value target. I gotta shut him down. But I'm so glad Jesus said, I prayed for you, and if Jesus prayed for you, everything is all right. The God that I serve is greater, greater than the world that is against us. My question is, do you know him? Have you tried him? Is he real in your life? I don't know about you, but he's this close. He's this close. When the going gets tough, I tell the folk, if I can just get to the pulpit, the power of God will make everything all right. Thank the Holy Ghost. There are times in my life. So I heard somebody say, well, he's getting on in age, 80 years old. But I got to tell you something. 80 is not old. When you think about a man like Caleb, have I got a witness here? Caleb says, I'm as strong now as I was when I went out to spy. The same God that kept me when I went out to spy is the same God that keeps me now. What is the point? The point is, when I'm weary in well-doing, I try, and it seems like nobody listens. But when I get to the pulpit, it's just like Superman when he goes in to the phone booth. Have I got a witness? He comes out. He went in as Clark Kent, but he comes out as Superman. When I go in to my secret closet, I go in as Amos Jones, but I come out as a child of God. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. He puts running in my feet, clapping in my hands. He makes the joy bell ring. My question is, do you know him? Do you know him? I don't fool me now. I tried him a long time ago. Lord have mercy. I'm like Paul now. I know the power of his resurrection. Jesus, the matchless Lamb of God. Jesus, my elder brother. Jesus, everything I need. But I gotta tell you this. Jesus put a cross on his shoulder, went up a hill called Golgotha. They nailed his hands, riveted his feet, dropped him low. He died. He died. But what I love about it is he didn't stay dead, because early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. That's why I can tell you, if he prays for you, everything is all right. I'm closing now, but I want you to know, greater, greater, greater is the one on the inside of us than the one that's in the world. I tell Mr. Trump, do what you want to do, but there is a fine call. You got to stand before God. I tell, Lord have mercy. I tell, oh yes, I tell Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions, there is a God above every other one. I tell Mike Pence, there is a God over everyone. Have I got a witness? And the God that we serve said, if I'm for you, if I'm for you, who can be against you? We worry about things we ought not to worry about. Amen. I'll tell you two quick reasons. Number one, if you can't change it, it makes no difference. You can worry all you want. It's not going to change anything. But number two is God is still in control. Amen. Now, I know it's sometimes you look and say, God is in control of this. In the middle of this chaos, God is causing all things
to work together for good.
That's right.
To those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Think about the potential in young people. Amen. Don't get upset. Want to just lock them up. You pray for them.
That's right.
And if you spend some time praying for them and praying with them, you can change. Amen.
That's right.
If it were not so, amen, I wouldn't tell you. Jesus demonstrated that if you could take a ruffian like Simon. Amen. Y'all ever thought about Simon? I mean, you mess with Simon. Actually, he was trying to cut something else off.
Yeah.
He just, all he could get was his ear. But see, God will show you that that's not the way. Remember what he says to Simon? Simon, put it up. If you live with this thing, you'll die by it. We don't need to fight that kind of fight. We fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Believing that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now I'm going to say this and I'm done. Diligently is not off and on. I ain't going to talk to them. Diligence is not off and on. Amen. Now think about this. You're working at a company, Fortune 500 company. Good job. You're making, you know, at least six figures. But you got a problem. And that problem is you don't want to work but 3 days a week. You know how long you're going to be there?
3 days.
How long?
I don't care how smart you are, how shrewd you are. When you're not there, you're not any good.
That's right.
You say, oh yes, but Pastor, now we work at home. Well, see, he determines where we work. Amen. Your company might let you work at home. But when you work for him, the field is everywhere.
Right.
Now, I know some of us like to believe that the field is only this building. Amen. If that were the case, you know, we come in, we look holy to each other. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And then we become Simon Peter too. We go off on somebody. Amen. I'm going to say this and I'm done. Y'all still going to get out before one. If Christ dwells in you, then there are some things that you can't do.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
If he dwells in you, there are some things you can't say.
Yes, sir?
See, you're an attorney, so let me stand over here by you. But see, you would say, well, why is that true? Well, you remember I said if Christ dwells in you? Because see, if Christ is in you, then you can't have dwelling in you satanic forces. Does that make sense? I mean, you can't have both of them living.
That's right.
You see, if when Satan tries to come in, he's met at the door by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And so he can't come in.
Right.
And so if Christ is in you, then there are things that we say to folk we would not say if Christ is in us. There are some places we won't go if Christ is in us.
That's right.
He realized that many of our messages are never spoken. Amen. People observe us. They observe your lifestyle. They observe your demeanor. Never have to say anything. my friend back here. They were going to let me in the line over at the Soul Food Mickey's. Come on, preacher, get up. You can get up here. So, oh no, you'll never make me get in and bake this line. And see, I could have slipped in, but see, all the mother folk would saw me.
Oh,
you see
right.
That preacher? Yeah, that's that old preacher down there. Friendship. Something you just don't do. Amen. Because it sets a bad image as a kingdom dweller. Well, still got time. Do you realize that if I had been out cutting my grass, and man, I love to work in the yard. Cut grass. And I went in and told my sweet wife, give me a beer. That beer would not send me to hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
However, my daughter, who's sitting right next to her, if she saw me drinking that beer, and she said, well, Daddy drinking one.
Not one.
Give me one, too. Because I know if my daddy does, it must be all right. And see, she might not have the ability to drink the one and stop. Mm-hmm. I know this one. Now, I'm serious about this. I certainly don't want to do anything that would cause my kids to stumble.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
All right, since I done talked about beer. Can I talk about cigarettes for a minute? If I'm not on your street yet, just hold on. How much does a pack of cigarettes cost now?
$6.
Roughly. $6. Look how much money you could save. Can you imagine someone taking a $5 bill and just lighting it up and letting it burn right in front of them? That's what you're doing when you smoke. I'm done now. What's my point? That we are, as a people, interdependent. We need each other. We're connected to each other. And as your fortunes rise, brings me right along with you. That's why I want to hang around with folk who are going somewhere. Amen. I don't want to spend time with somebody who ain't doing nothing. Excuse my grammar. Amen. Hang around with folk that's doing something. Amen. When you hang around with folk that love the Lord, amen, God will direct your path. All right, we're done.